Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This morning I announced the title of this evening's sermon, and it is this: This sickness is for the glory of God. This sickness is for the glory of God. John chapter 11. Once you found John 11, find verse number 1 and then stand with me if you would. John chapter 11. We're going to read a handful of verses. John 11, starting with verse 1, I'm going to read it out loud and you can follow along. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard that therefore he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Now drop down to verse 14. And it says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Now drop down to verse 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." We're going to use that scripture, and we're going to learn something this evening that will help us. And so let me pray. Father, bless us and help us, Lord, that we would trust you and that we would truly, truly live by faith. Help us, Lord, to live by faith when it's easy, and help us to live by faith when it's hard. Holy Spirit of God, make someone stronger because of what we learn from your book this evening, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus's, and he was sick. He lived in a place called Bethany. He was sick enough that it could kill him. Matter of fact, as the story goes, he does die as a result of the sickness. Lazarus had two sisters, one named Mary and one named Martha. Jesus was not with them at the beginning of this story. The sisters sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, his buddy, was sick and sick unto death. The Bible says that Jesus did not come immediately. He actually waited 2 days before he decided to go and be with Lazarus. But in that lapse of time, in that two-day period, Lazarus actually died. Then finally, Jesus arrives in Bethany, and people had already started to come and comfort the family about the death of Lazarus. Martha went to meet Jesus. That's one of Lazarus's sisters. And when Jesus arrived in town, Martha went out to meet him. And she said this. She said, the Bible says, "Then saith Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Well, and then Mary, the other sister, goes to Jesus. And in verse 32 it says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Well, now Mary is weeping and Martha is weeping and their friends are weeping. And the Bible says in verse number 33 that Jesus groaned in his spirit. It also uses the words, "then he was troubled." In verse number 35, it says that Jesus wept. So Martha wept and Mary wept, and there are others weeping, and Jesus wept. And there were people there that I'm not sure if they were being critical or if maybe they were just stating the fact, but there even some people began to talk about, well, had Jesus been here, this could have been prevented. Because in verse 37 it said, "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Well, and then in verse 38, the Bible says that Jesus groans again. The way the story is written, Jesus then goes to the tomb where Lazarus is buried. He'd now been in the grave for 4 total days. And Jesus rolls away that stone from the, he tells them, "Roll the stone away from the door." And somebody said, well, After 4 days, his body will stink. And they, but finally, they obeyed and they rolled the stone away from the tomb where Lazarus was buried. And then Jesus speaks to God, and what he's about to ask Lazarus to come forth. And in verse 41, it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus said, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And in verse number 44, Lazarus raises from the dead and steps out of the tomb." Well, the spectators that were there that were not saved, it says many of the unbelieving people at that moment believed. In other words, they got saved. That's an amazing story. What a powerful story. Now, I want you to remember something. Everybody in this event and surrounding it seemed to be somewhat devastated over the death of Lazarus. In verse 14, Jesus made it clear. He said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then in verse 15, he said this, "And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." That's interesting. Jesus said, well, I'm glad I wasn't here, because we're going to get something out of this thing. And that's basically what he's saying. In John chapter 11, verse number 40, it says, "That thou shouldest see the glory of God." Now, folks, you say, those people were hurting. What was Jesus' explanation? First of all, you need to understand something. God owes you no explanation. The created does not require anything justly from the Creator. But he said that thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now, honestly, there is the ultimate explanation and purpose for anything that God allows. You say, what is that? The glory of God. God has the right to be glorified. And could I help you? Hey, if you ever face a heartache, a burden, or a loss, I hope we can figure out why, or we can settle your minds and hearts and lives about it. But could I simply tell you this? God's to get the glory from that. Whatever it is. Hey, tonight, do you suffer maybe from a broken heart? Or do you have a heavy burden? Maybe you've cried yourself to sleep at night, like Mary did, like Martha did. Maybe something came upon you and you say, how in the world? Where'd that come from? And why did that come upon me? As your pastor, I'd love to answer all the questions adequately. I might not be able to do that. But one thing I can tell you, as God's child, everything that happens to you and I, first of all, is to glorify Him. And anything that glorifies Him, that's good for us. God has a way of getting something good to come out of what seems to be maybe even what we would call a bad event in our lives. Is it possible that God could say to you, you face and you insert whatever your burden is in here, and God could say, you face thus and so, and it's for my glory? What's your burden? Well, let me promise you, whatever your burden is. Now, somebody that sits in this section, your burden is different than somebody that sits in this section. And those of you that sit right here, your burden is different than those that sit over here. And a child's burden is different than a teen's, and a teen's than an adult's, and a married that maybe than a single, and maybe someone that's in their senior years, their burden is a little different than somebody that's in their younger years. I can't tell you what your burden is, but God knows what it is. And I will promise you, whatever happens to you and I as Christians, God's ultimate goal, and He deserves that goal be fulfilled, it is to glorify God. But I have to tell you, if what happens in our lives glorifies God, that's good for us. That's good for us. Because glorifying Him ought to be our ultimate goal. Now, I wish we could let that be enough. I'm going to use this story real quickly. And I'm going to talk to you about the burden that Mary and Martha and even Lazarus faced for a moment. And maybe you can even find some comfort in what I say to you. Maybe you can find that reason, and I don't think we always ought to search for a reason. Sometimes we ought to just trust God. Sometimes we ought to just have faith in God. We make the statement, or you hear someone say, God is good, and everybody says, all the time. Now, it's easy to say, God's good all the time when it's somebody else's burden, but when you're the one that's under the burden, I'm not sure God's good all the time at that moment, because now it affects you. But I wish we would really believe by faith that God is good all the time. But if I may, I'm going to take a little of this story and I want to show you something. I want to show you why maybe a burden came into the life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and other people. And maybe it'll help you even to understand your burden a little. First of all, let me say, God allows your burden for your sake. For your sake. In the passage that we just read, John 11, verse number 15, Jesus made this statement about the death of Lazarus. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Isn't that interesting? Mary and Martha were all tore up about the death of Lazarus, and they went to Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. Now, Jesus wasn't being a smart aleck. I think Jesus was glad because somehow Jesus knew something they did not. And Jesus is not a mean man. Everything that Jesus does is perfect. So when Jesus said, I'm glad for your sake, I didn't show up. Again, he wasn't being snotty. He wasn't being arrogant. Folks, listen. God always does what's best. Always. God is always perfect. God is always holy. God is going to do what's best for me, and God is going to do what's best for you. So even our burdens are for our sake. But in this story, we know that Jesus says, he says, well, this whole thing comes about so God gets the glory. But he does make the statement then, but this is for your sake. And remember, folks, God getting glory from your life is what God deserves from your life. And if you don't even understand why something came into your life, as long as God gets glory, that's a good deal. But he said, I am glad for your sake. God loves us and allows only those things to come upon us that is best for us. As this story of Lazarus goes on, his death created an amazing life-changing event that turned out best for everybody involved. Now, I'm sure that while they were going through it, they couldn't ever picture something good coming from this, but wow, did it ever? You might not be able to figure out how something good can come from that burden that you face, but God knows more than you, God sees more than you, and God knows how your heartache can bring glory to Him. Please believe that your burden could be for your sake. Let me tell you what not to do. When a burden or heartache comes to you, if I were you, I probably wouldn't look at it as, look what God's doing to me. That'll cause you to get bitter. That'll cause you to get angry. You say, well, how should I look at it? How about this? I wonder what God's doing for me. For me. There are times when children probably think, what are my mom and dad doing to me? Oh, but parents, I don't think you're trying to do something to them. You were trying to do something for them. The child does not always understand what the parent is going to help the child with or what's going to come from the result of the action. And we have a Heavenly Father, and He knows best. And when Jesus turned to Mary and Martha and He said, I'm glad for your sake I was not here. And He was right. And God's always right. Hey, has a hard time possibly entered your life and God allowed it for your sake? Don't miss it if that's the case. Secondly, God allows your burden because He then can come to you in a special way when you have a special burden. In John chapter 11, verse 15, in this story, Jesus said, "I'm glad for your sake that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Jesus saying, you're facing a tragedy, and I have come to you, Mary, to you, Martha. I've come to you, Lazarus. I wouldn't be coming if you didn't have an exceptional situation on your hands. Jesus will come to you in times of heartache. Jesus will come to you in times of despair. Jesus will come to you in times of loss. And he comes in a special way. And so, you understand what he said. He said, for your sake, I'm glad I was not here. And he said, Lazarus dead. And he basically, he's saying, Lazarus dead, and I'm glad. Why? He said, because I get to come to you, and you wouldn't have needed me to come to you had he not died. And you wouldn't have needed me to come to you had your heart not been broken. And you wouldn't have needed me to come to you if you were not in somewhat despair. See, Jesus knows our heavy hearts. And when we have a heavy heart, he gets to come to us. And he loves coming to his children. By the way, he loves coming to his children when his children are hungry for his presence. Do you realize when you have prosperity, you usually ignore him? You got plenty of money in your checking account. You don't spend a whole lot of time saying, "Oh, God, I need you." Yeah, you just don't have enough money to make your house payment. All of a sudden you're saying, "Oh, God." See, you remember the story when the disciples were in the ship during the fourth watch of the night? Jesus had sent them onto the sea and he told them, "I'll meet you on the other side." He knew a storm would come upon them. He comes to them walking on the water. He stills the storm. You say, now why did he do all that? Jesus likes coming to people that need him. Why? He's God. Let me tell you something. You say, is he toying with us? No, you can be glad that you're not in a storm 24/7, 365 days a year, because there is a devil in hell that would tear you to shreds. And there's a lot of mercy involved in your peaceful life, and predominantly the folks in this room have peaceful lives. But when a hardship does come, I think Jesus gets a kick out of, there's a song, "Here Comes Jesus, and he's walking on the water." I think he loves that. What? He can do it. If I could walk on the water, I'd be coming to some of you while you're fishing. You go out and I'd say, "They're out there on the boat, I'm going out." That'd be something. Well, listen, we're talking about the Son of God. And I believe that in this case, Jesus said, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to come to you in a special way. And had you not gone through this burden, I couldn't have came to you in that special way. Remember, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus said, "Let us go to him." They basically said, "Well, what good will it do going to him?" He said, "Well, I can go to him and meet up with him in a special way." You remember when Jesus went to the country of the Gadarenes and he met the maniac of Gadara there? Let me tell you something. That man was desperate for a Savior. I think Jesus just loved showing up and saying, let me show what we can do with this guy. Wow. I'm glad we have that story. I love that story. You remember the man that was crippled by the pool of Bethesda? He had been there for 38 years. Nobody came to help him, and Jesus came and the guy was healed. Jesus loves to help people, and he loves to come to them in a special way. I tell you, you know the guy that had sat at that pool for 38 years and could not get healing? Boy, when he seen Jesus coming, don't you think he got a thrill? I imagine when that guy, after 38 years, had been lame, he sees the Son of God coming. I think he got cold chills up and down his spine. And I think he was probably saying, "I hope he's coming my way. He's coming right at me. I think I got a chance at this thing." And boy, the demons of hell were ready to flee when Jesus yoked up with the maniac of Gadara and saved him. I'm telling you, Jesus comes to us in a special way when we carry burdens. Lazarus was dead, and Jesus said, now I get to come to Lazarus and Mary and Martha in a very special way. In your burden, Jesus comes. Hey, could I recommend something? Look for him. Expect him. Hey, Jesus won't stand you up. He'll help you. And for some of you, I think you know this. Because of your burden, you've gotten closer to the Lord. And that may be worth it all. So, I think he allows burdens for our sake. I think he allows burdens so that he can come to us in a special way. And boy, did it pan out well for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They went down in history. You talk about an incredible story. Lazarus come forth and the guy comes up out of that grave. All the naysayers that were saying, he probably stinks. Can you imagine how Mary and Martha felt? They had gone to gripe. Where were you? Now, I can't picture myself approaching Jesus Christ that way. I'm not good with complaints. Look, if something we buy gets broken, Mrs. Owens has to take it back to the complaint department. I'm afraid of those people. I'm not good at it. She can go in very politely and tell them this product is not right. Me, I'd say, I'll just buy another one. I don't have to face somebody about something like that. These two women, Mary on one occasion, Martha on another, actually walk up to Jesus and said, where were you? Now, Jesus knew they were grieving, and Jesus knew their hearts were broken, and he knew what he was going to do, so I don't think he was real troubled. But I'm going to promise you, the very moment that Lazarus came up out of that grave, and Jesus said, this is done for a purpose, I'm sure Martha's going, oh, brother. I'm sure Mary's thinking, I do not want to have a sandwich with him after this service. You know, no fish sandwiches for me today. Okay, well, that burden brought Jesus to those people in a special and a unique way. Thirdly, I think God allows our burdens because then you will get to see the heart of God because of it. I think God wants a chance to reveal his heart. In John 11, verse 33, it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, see, had this process not taken place, had Lazarus not died, you would not see these people weeping, and they wouldn't have seen Jesus groan. The Bible actually says that he was troubled. See, Jesus was moved. You know, the Bible says in John 11:35, Jesus wept. I'm glad we have that verse in the Bible. For some of you, it's the only Bible memorization you've ever gotten in. John 11:35, Jesus wept. But I'm really glad that the Bible records the fact that Jesus wept, and I think God wanted his great compassion listed in the Bible. Lazarus needed to die so a heart would be broken so Jesus could respond with tears because God wanted the world to see his heart. With no burden, you may not have a chance to see God's great heart of compassion and love. In John 11:38, it says, Jesus, therefore, again, and the word again is there because this is another scripture says, groaning within himself. Now he's groaned twice, he began to weep, and he's hurting for man. I think sometimes God allows our heartache so he can come to us and unveil his great love. When Jesus wept, the Jews said, in this story, they said, behold, how he loved him. Huh. Can I tell you something? Those of you that are hurting, if you'll have the right attitude about it, there are lost people that will look at how your connection with God is strengthened through the burden, and they'll say, look at how God loves them, and look at how they love God. What a testimony. And that's what happened here. I don't believe that Jesus wept because Lazarus was dead. You say, why? He knew what he was going to do. I don't think he was fake weeping. I have a fake laugh. You tell me a joke, Mrs. Owens, she knows which is a real laugh and which is a fake laugh. You tell me a joke, if it's not funny, I can laugh. It may not be my real laugh. I don't think Jesus was fake weeping. You're all going to try to figure it out from now on, aren't you? I don't think Jesus was weeping because Lazarus was dead because he knew what he was going to do. I think he was weeping for the sake of Mary and Martha because he wanted to express his love. He wanted to show how much he loved Mary and how much he loved Martha. And he wanted that so that his love for Lazarus was demonstrated. So he could get close to them. So they could better see that the great God of the universe is not some pie in the sky God, but he cares about the individual needs of the human race. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Folks, God cares. And you have a burden, let me tell you something. That burden may be in your life because God wants to demonstrate that God cares about you. And he wants you to see that care. Folks, if we had no heartaches, if we had no heartbreaks, if we had no pressures on us, maybe we would not be familiar with the love of God. He needs to love us, he wants to love us, and we need his love. And he needs ways of expressing it. So Jesus weeps and groans with us as we go through our heartaches. Jesus says, "Your burden may be there, because I want you to realize the depth of my love for you." So, I think we may go through burdens for our sake. I think we may go through burdens so God can come to us in a special way. I think we may go through burdens so that God can express his great heart and his great love to us. Number four, I think God allows our burden because he can better show than us in the world the power of his word because of the burdens that we bear. The power of his word. In John 11:43, where we get this story, it says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried out aloud with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Now understand, Jesus was the walking word of God. What he spoke was the word of God. Now, folks, that word that he spoke brought comfort to everybody. Everybody got to see the power in the word of God in this story. They had not been able to see the power of the word of God had it not needed to be exercised because of a heartache. God may want to exercise his power on your behalf to other people and to you, so a burden's in your life, so the Word of God is exalted, and that the Word of God is believed, and the Word of God is made as an example so people could see how powerful it is. See, his Word will comfort you at the time of a heartache. His Word can carry you through the times of distress. God's Word is powerful. And whether you realize it or not, the greatest need in your life is the Word of God. If a burden comes that strengthens you in His Word, then that burden has done you a favor. There are some of you, you would not on your own become strong through the Word of God unless you were hungry, passionate, and desirous of it. And I think burdens create a hunger for strength. Burdens create a desire for survival. And the Christian gets the burden and with a passion and a desire turns to the Word of God for an answer. Therefore, the Christian becomes strong by the Word of God. And in this story, burden came, the Word of God came, and everybody became stronger because of the Word of God. Let God's Word turn your heartache into His glory. Let God's Word turn your burden into a blessing. Broken hearts make it easier for the seed of the Word of God to be planted in our hearts so it will grow. Hey, look, if there had been no tears in this story, there would have been no "Lazarus, come forth." Our burdens reveal to us the great power that's in the Word of God. Hey, had there been no groaning in this story, there would have been no miraculous resurrection. Hard times push Christians to God's Word. And burdens can strengthen us in the Word of God, and it strengthens our understanding of the Word of God. So, why in the world would Mary and Martha and Lazarus go through something like this? Well, I'm giving you reasons. I think God wanted His Word to be strengthened in all their hearts. I'll tell you something. When Mary heard Jesus say, "Lazarus, come forth," I'll bet you that got quoted all over the place. I'll bet you lost people were quoting the Word of God. Saved people were quoting the Word of God. Can you picture Lazarus quoting that? Lazarus, say, let me give you one of my favorite verses. "Lazarus, come forth." He said, "Did you hear that? Doesn't that ring?" Buddy at church, everybody was saying, "Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Lazarus, come forth." Three words. Took somebody from death to life. Three words. A miracle. Three words, and nature was turned upside down. And God sometimes needs something to go the wrong way so His Word can flip it around and make it the right way so people will believe in the Word of God. And God has the right to do that. You say, why would He even need to do that? Because you and I are numb, faithless, unbelieving, and we don't know how much we need God. And God said, well, if we bring a burden in your life, I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm not doing something to you, but for you. And what's going to come out of it? I will ignite the God that's inside you and get you an interest and a desire and a passion for it. And I'll make my Word big in your life. But there had to be a little headache to go along with it to get your attention. I'm almost finished. But number five, I think God allows our burden because of His glory. His glory. Later on in that chapter, John 11, verse 40, it says this, "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" So he sums it up. He said, whatever happened in your life, if you just would believe me, I have a way of making that a glorious thing for God. And remember, I think if you and I are used by God to glorify God, that's what we're supposed to be all about anyway. It's not all about glorifying you. It's about glorifying God. Hey, if you search for a reason for your heartache and you can't find one, just say this: I just want God to get glory out of it. I just want God to get glory out of it. That's all. God sometimes does what He does for His own glory. Now look, if you and I do what we do for our own glory, that's wrong. But the Bible says He deserves all glory. It's not wrong for God to seek glory for God. It's wrong for man to seek glory for man. I just wish all of us would have enough faith to say, whatever comes my way, God, if it glorifies You, okay. If you can explain it, okay. If you can't, okay. Remember, your life is to be about Him. Do you think that Job understood all the loss that he suffered? Matter of fact, remember this. When Job was suffering his loss, it was not because Job was this wicked, bad guy. It was because Job was a good guy. You say, am I going through this because I'm a bad person? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe you're going through it because you're a good person. Burdens and heartaches are not necessarily what we would call disciplines and punishment. Now, sometimes they are. But in Job's case, it was not. And I love what Job said. I believe Job, though he didn't have John 11:40, where Jesus said, if you just have faith, that this is all about the glory of God, I think Job had some idea about the Scripture and the concept that I'm teaching tonight. Because you know what Job said? He said, well, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, yet will I serve him. I think Job was saying, well, whatever comes, it's all right. I'm going to serve Him. If I got plenty of money in my bank account, I'm serving God. If I'm flat, busted, broke, I'm going to serve God. If I'm healthy, I'm going to serve God. But if I'm not, I'm going to serve God. If things are going my way, I'm going to serve God. But things are not going my way, I'm going to serve God. I mean, look, if I have a good day, I'm going to serve God. But if I have a bad day, I'm going to serve God. If I've got a job, I'm going to serve God. But if I don't have a job, I'm going to serve God. If I have enough food, I'm going to serve God. But if I don't have enough food, I'm going to serve God. Although he slay me, yet will I serve him. I think Job decided, this isn't all about me, it's all about God. Whatever burden comes into my life, it's okay. It's okay. I trust you, God. You know what you're doing. And I can't figure it out. Hey, I'll tell you one other thing and we're done. And then I may tell you one other thing after that and we'll be done again. But I think sometimes God allows burdens in our lives because it means somebody could be saved as a result of it. The same chapter, the same verses. In John 11:45, it says this. Then many of the Jews, now remember what just happened. Lazarus come forth, he comes forth. And then it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Wow. The lost found Christ because of the heartache of Mary, the heartache of Martha, and the death of Lazarus. They said, the lost were watching the behavior of the burdened Christians. Which probably means this, Mary and Martha had handled themselves in pretty good fashion. Lazarus died with spiritual faith and dignity. You know, there's probably some conversation that went on that we don't know about. I don't know if Mary and Martha, while they were all upset, went to Lazarus and said, we've called for Jesus, but he's not here yet. You know what I think Lazarus said? It's okay. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Don't worry about me. I'm going to a better place. I wonder if he said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. I do know that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus handled themselves well enough that all the unbelieving people said, oh, wow. That's the Messiah. So, I don't know. There may be somebody saved as a result of your burden, whether you can figure it out or not. There may be somebody saved because you don't even have to know them. You don't have to have any idea. I was at the hospital about 7 or 8 days ago to visit someone associated with our church. Somebody else that was in the hospital had a guest. Their guest had stepped out of their room and just happened to be right in my line of fire. And I walked up. I didn't know them. I didn't know the person that they were there to visit. But I pulled out my New Testament, and I got to win someone to Christ. You know, I never did figure out who that one was that was in the hospital, but I can tell you something. They were facing a burden, and they had no idea that their burden brought somebody to Christ. You may not even know who got saved because of your burden. But in this story, people got saved. And Mary needed her heart broken in the process. And Martha needed her heart broken in the process. And Lazarus, he died in the process. But somebody got saved. And remember, what Lazarus said, I'm not worried. For me to die is Christ. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was telling the truth. You know, there could be a flip side of Lazarus. He could have said, oh, great, why did you bring me back? I mean, if heaven is all that we say that it is, Lazarus, we might all think he was running around giving high fives. He might have had an attitude. I don't know, he might have said, oh, it's like my mother-in-law turned around and came back for a lengthier visit. I call the sermon, this sickness is for the glory of God. Because that's what Jesus told him. He said, Lazarus is sick, but this is for the glory of God. And that could have been so offensive when Jesus said, I'm glad I was not here. But now we see why Jesus could say that. He had a purpose in the burden. Let's bow our heads and we'll close our eyes. Think about it, Christian. What is your burden? What is your heartache? Could you realize that it's for your sake? Understand all that we face is for the glory of God. What a lot of benefit. I hope you've taken a look at the burdens of life, the heartaches, the heaviness of life. And I hope you'll see it from a different aspect. Everything that happens in our lives is to bring glory to our Savior and to our God. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, why don't you come? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. And then might I say that if you're a Christian tonight, and most here are, maybe you need a moment at the altar. Maybe you ought to come and say, Lord, I've been carrying this burden or this heartache, and I want you to get glory from it. Lord, I don't understand it. I'm sick, but I don't understand it. And I'm weighed down by some heavy heartaches and some things that I face in life. But God, I want you to have glory from it. And Lord, if I never understand it, if we never figure it out, God, I'm just going to trust you and say, God, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. What a great attitude. Here tonight, who would say, the Lord has spoken to my heart. I know for a fact that tonight I have been challenged about some matter in my life, and God's going to help me with it because of what I've heard. Would you put your hands up? And their hands up already and all over the place. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but okay. Somehow, you're going to get glory from this. Jesus said, and for your sake, I didn't solve the problem. Maybe it is because God needs to come to you in a special way. Maybe it is because God wants to show you His great love and He wants His compassion to be seen by you and for others. Maybe God is trying to make His power and the power of His Word come alive in your life where you turn to the Word of God and you claim the Word of God as your strength. Maybe it's just to glorify God and we will never figure it out. Maybe someone needs to get saved because of it. Maybe you need to witness to someone because of it. It's just amazing. Just amazing. When He said, I'm glad I was not here. Because He had something greater to accomplish. Greater purpose. Do if you face a burden, you face a heartache, something harsh comes your way. Don't become hateful. Don't become vengeful. Let God make you more tender. Let God use it in a supernatural way. This will be the last time through the song, and in a moment we'll be on our way. Let me say one last thing, and then Brother Uriah, I'll have you close us in a word of prayer. Listen, I wonder if there has possibly come a burden into your life and God just wanted to see if you would trust Him when it makes no sense at all. And the whole purpose of the burden is to see if you trust Him when you can't figure it out. He's not trying to get something else out of it. There's not some hidden meaning. There's just one thing He wants to know. Do you love Him enough, trust Him enough, that you'll keep serving Him no matter what? And that's all He wants to see. Could I tell you, if that would be the case, the sooner you trust and decide to serve Him, it might be the sooner that burden might go away. And there's something else I learned in life. If God sends a trial my way to teach me something and I don't learn it, and even if there's reprieve in the trial, it's coming again. Because God doesn't give up on people. You're better off learning it the first time. And children, that'd be a good thing to do with mom and dad. If mom and dad are trying to teach you something and there's some discipline that comes by not learning it, if I were you, I'd probably learn it because there might be some discipline coming the next time you don't do the right thing. But let's trust Him so much that even when we hurt and don't understand it, it's enough for us to know that He understands it. And He just needs to get the glory.